Well, good afternoon, Representative Tucker, Senator Brenner, and members of the committee. My name is Sarah Nichols, and I'm the Sustainable Maine Director for the Natural Resources Council of Maine. And I am honored to be here on your fact-finding quest for what to do with Maine's construction and demolition debris. I have about 30 slides here for you. You're welcome to ask me clarifying questions along the way, or just wait until the end. I have quite a bit of information. And in preparing for this, I have realized, I think we're on the beginning of a very long journey. There's a lot of things that I learned. And I also think that there's a lot of parallels to managing this type of material with the MSW that we've talked a lot more about. And it's helped me kind of wrap my head around it. And I'll try to make those parallels for you as I can. So first, I do want to thank you for your support of LD 1639. You know, that's why we're here today. You know, the law now protects Maine's state-owned landfill from being filled with waste from out of state. And now let's protect even more space in that landfill and others. So thank you so much. Okay, this presentation, I'm going to quickly go over the best practices for managing construction demolition waste hierarchy that you know and love. Then I'll talk about how does Maine measure up to some of these things that are happening. And then I will present some just ideas, some seeds for, you know, for your consideration for policy tools. I don't, unfortunately, don't have an answer for you at this time. and I'm not going to advocate for anything specific. Okay. So, you know, before I dive into some of these best practices, you know, it's going to feel a little, maybe a little bit outside of the scope of what we've talked about so far, which is just moving mixed construction waste to a processing facility. It'll be more context of where that particular management type fits into the broader context. And, you know, just a reminder that we want to do this. We want to move waste out of landfills and up the hierarchy because, you know, it results in saving landfill space, creating jobs, saving money, reducing greenhouse gases. And also, I would like to make sure that my children and children's children aren't dealing with this problem into the future. So thinking about it systemically. Okay, so where's all this waste coming from? We got some Maine-based figures for disposal earlier. This table here is from the US EPA. And what it basically shows is most of the waste is coming from demolition. Very, you know, in the construction phase of things, it's a lot more efficient. There's our waste coming out of construction sites, but to me, focusing on the demolition is where a lot of the material is coming from. Also, according to the EPA, CDD waste in general has increased by 342% from 1990 to 2018. So it's just a really growing waste stream. I was just trying to look at Maine's numbers, but around the country, this construction material or demolition material is about a third of our total waste. So when you think of the whole pie of waste that we all have to deal with, you know, I usually picture about half is the MSW waste. And then a third is the special waste, like the sludges and all of that stuff. And then a third is this. So to me, it is a big piece of the waste pie. And I don't quite know the breakdown of the municipal, like where if it's coming from houses or buildings or others. I'm still trying to track down, wrapping my head around that. Okay, so first best practice, which we all know, is waste prevention. So this would be the reduced part of the hierarchy. I talked to some designers and architects to prepare for this, and this is getting to Representative Dudiar's question. So adaptive reuse would be the best thing, to reuse the buildings that we already have, the existing structures. When we're making new buildings, they should be built to last. I also learned that prefabricated buildings tend to have less waste because they're constructed in a single site, and all the waste that is created there can be managed better than if it's dispersed out into multiple sites. I thought that was interesting. And a lot of design is thinking about deconstruction in mind. So disentangling measures. So different ways to do the wiring and the gluing and things in a way that they're not really difficult to take apart. Proper planning throughout. There's a lot of different ways that this can happen. So US Green Building Council has a waste calculator. There's a program called ArchiCAD. Purchasing agreements between contractors and others can incorporate aspects of waste prevention from, you know, keep materials from entering the job site as waste. Go ahead.
Are these concepts being discussed in the architecture schools these days? I mean, is this is this a part of their curriculum and part of their professional groups? Are they always talking about this stuff?
That's my understanding. That's why I was like, whoa, this is a whole new world. So presenting all of this information, I'm really just scratching the surface, I think, on what's already happening out there. So these aren't new ideas, but I think that the policies and programs that we talk about in here should support these kinds of activities. And then I put carbon budgeting here. This is a way, if you're building a new facility or building, to have a set carbon budget. So you wouldn't want that facility to reach a certain, go over a certain amount. And a key way to reduce the carbon associated with building is by preventing waste. So that basically bakes that stuff in. It's a way to get in through the back door. Okay. So next, idea is to support the use of construction materials that support landfill diversion and recycling markets. This would be similar to the recycled, say the recycled content law that you did for plastic beverage containers, but just encouraging the right materials that support recycling markets. If we're going to have recycling work, those materials need to be put into something else. And I wanted to draw your attention to these two particular materials. This timber HP is made right in Madison, Maine. This is a high performance wood fiber insulation that uses scrap from Maine's
family. Certainly, I think, you know, it's not always appropriate or possible to provide full legal representation, but I think the warm line is,
you know, it's really lightweight, high performance, low carbon alternative to those materials. Okay. So next would be the reusing of construction materials, furnishing and fixtures. I tried to get a good grasp of the extent to which this is happening in Maine, and I didn't quite get a clear picture yet. I inquired with the Mitchell Center, who's done a lot of work on reuse in Maine, and they haven't focused on these types of materials yet. But I'm sure that there is a lot of this going on. I just don't have a good way to present it to you here. But this is really a key way of saving landfill space, creating jobs, keeping materials local. And it really does add character to our existing structures and new buildings too. And I can list off the things that you can reuse, a few of them here. So, you know, windows, copper wiring, kitchen cabinets, lumber, bricks, doors, molding, plumbing fixtures, you get the idea. Okay. So next, recycling. And, you know, there's a difference between having a source separated recycling stream and mixed, similar to say single stream recycling and source separated. I like to think of, say, the bottle bill material. We have a lot that has that separate, and we get a really high return rate and a really good quality material that comes from that because it's source separated. But we still have single stream facilities too. So I think that there's place for both of these things. And, you know, talk a little bit more about this, but which materials are best kept separate, you know, and then there's which ones are maybe better handled through a mixed, you know, we can talk more about. And I just listed here a few, you know, metals, wood, concrete, and gypsum drywall are things that I, in my research, are things that could be kept separate and reused. Kind of the lower hanging fruit there. And I'm also, you know, curious, maybe another example with the plastic bag ban. Part of the reason that we, that there was support for that was because that particular material wasn't really welcome in the sorting facilities. So I'm curious what the plastic bag of the, you know, resource facility might be, what things might we want to remove from that. And another quick thing about recycling is I did talk to some haulers too, and I learned, and I'm actually guilty of this too. A lot of people don't care where their waste is going when it leaves the site. They're just like, can you come pick this up and take it somewhere? So I just had some windows replaced, and I called the guy who picks up stuff for my house, and I said, will you take this? And didn't occur to me to ask him where he was taking it. So then I did ask him, and he's going to inquire with the Yarmouth transfer station what they did with it. But even the haulers were just like, yeah, they don't really care. They just, you know, and oftentimes he said it's, closer to drop materials off at the resource facility than it would be to go to Juniper Ridge. And it also depends on where the drivers live. It just seemed very complex how these decisions are made and who decides where that load is going to go. Seems confusing to me. Okay. So landfills, last resort, obviously. You know, I do agree that it's best if it's used on site for engineering purposes, if it's going to be there anyway. My concern is that it's not counted as recycling because it's material placed in a landfill. So I think it's okay, but I don't think that we should basically sugarcoat the situation or make it feel like we're doing better than we are by calling these things recycled. It just needs a distinction. And, you know, we also need to avoid over promoting that in a way that landfill companies and other businesses rely on that use for their business model going forward, because that's not a sustainable, we're always going to be at odds with that kind of business model. Okay. So, but with that said, I do think that landfills are completely necessary to have, and that they should be treated like the valuable assets that they are, which might sound strange coming from an environmentalist, but that we don't want to be building more landfills, and we don't want to be filling them up and having to send our waste out of state somewhere else either. So I just think that we need to really treat their capacity as a precious asset. Okay. So that said, I seem to have gone through the hierarchy. What seems to be a common theme is that's emerging all over the country is this notion of deconstruction as an alternative to demolition. So when you deconstruction can be done on a scale anywhere from removing, you know, just some things of a building to full on board by board deconstruction. So it's not just a one thing. And it's really the best way to, say, preserve an existing building or reuse the materials that are in it or source separate those recycling, you know, doing all the things that we want to do as the best practices. Deconstruction is really, really the key there. And I don't suspect this is going to work because of the audio I was discussing with Dan, but it's just a 2.5 minute video describing deconstruction for fun. So let's see what happens if it works. I don't think so. Anyway, well, I'll make that available to you all, but this was from the city of San Antonio because they passed they're working on their ordinance, their deconstruction ordinance. And I thought it was a really good way to just have a break from me talking and have someone else describe to you exactly what deconstruction is, but you get the idea. And now I don't know how to go to my next slide. Oh, okay. So how does Maine measure up? So just switching a little bit of gears, talking about more specific to Maine. It's even in, you know, normal MSW, I think it's really difficult to measure the reduction in reuse that's happening out there. You know, we have our state recycling goal of recycling 50%, which is great. But, you know, if the pie is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, we're not really reaching, you know, so we want to make sure the pie doesn't keep growing. So that 342% increase, that's how do we measure that? So I think for our MSW, we have a per capita waste reduction goal that targets that. I don't know if we could have another goal that tracks this and make sure that whole pie doesn't increase. And then I also noticed that other states' websites and others just have a better list of reuse and reduction opportunities. And I didn't find like a home base for that for Maine. So I'm still gathering information for that.
Sarah, mm-hmm. So on that number, that 342%, mm-hmm. we don't have any idea how Maine has performed between 1990 and 2018.
I'm sure there's probably some sort of numbers at the DEP, but I don't have them.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, so recycling. This is the same table that Suzanne put up earlier with the, you know, we can do a lot better than 2.3%. I do think that we just have a lot of opportunity since we're starting at not really much to do better. So I'm just going to take this in a positive note that there's the only place to go is up here. And I do think that there's room for source separated and mixed. This still a little bit hard to read. So this table, an intern made for us this summer. Across the top are some states, and down the rows are different types of materials. And then there is a B if the state has banned that material from landfill disposal, and there's an R if they just have a mandatory recycling ordinance on it. So in Maine, you know, we've banned asbestos, corrugated cardboard, and mercury-containing devices from disposal. You see Massachusetts and West Virginia actually have the most comprehensive bans. DC has a very comprehensive set of laws here. And I'm happy to make this available to you, but I always think it's useful to see what other states are doing.
Mm-hmm. I have a question mm-hmm. about this chart. Mm-hmm. The result of bans in states like Massachusetts, can you talk a little bit about what that looks like in practice? Mm-hmm. So obviously, maybe my hypothetical would be it means that we don't end up having these products in Massachusetts landfills. Mm-hmm. Are they being reused, recycled, or put into another state's landfill?
Right. So with the case of Massachusetts, a lot of that material is getting put into another state's landfill. But what the ban does there is it says it can't go straight to a landfill. It must go to a solid waste processing facility like the resource facility. So it can go there first. It's forced to go to those facilities. And then a lot of that material coming from those facilities ends up in the landfill. So it just can't go directly there. I have another slide that shows all the processing facilities within Massachusetts. I'll talk about them a little bit more. But yeah, I think that's a concern with the landfill bans. But if you ban certain materials, I think it forces a little bit of deconstruction from happening too. So I think it just depends on if it's a ban of all the whole mixture or just some. Further on this project, I think it would be interesting to see what's happened with a lot of waste in these states and when these laws were passed. Mm-hmm.
Are the states, thank you for all of this information, are the states that are listed the only states that have bans or mandatory recycling?
I believe so.
Oh, that's interesting. Thank you.
That was her charge, but it doesn't mean not someone missed, but yes, I believe so.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. And that's just really on these two types of policies. Okay. So a little bit more about Massachusetts. They have, you know, the comprehensive set of landfill bans. They have a lot more robust infrastructure. This map here has a list of all of their processing facilities there. I think it's something like 30 something. And the recycling rate of the material brought to those facilities is 22%. On average. So some facilities might recycle, like actually not send to landfill 50%. Some might do less, and the average is 22%. There, you know, it's just it's different than the state of Maine, as you all know. But that's what they're doing there. And I think a key difference, they have a ton of state resources and guidance there. And then there's Recycling Works is a third party that's paid for by the state. It's basically a free consultant to parties who are impacted by their laws and their landfill bans. And they help facilitate all kinds of really, really cool stuff. And I have another video that shows a success story from that, which I obviously can't show, but you should watch it later.
Sorry, I'm both questions.
Yeah.
So 20 by weight, 22% mm-hmm. of the construction demolition debris in Massachusetts is recycled.
Yes, but I think he had clarified that that's the material that's sent to the facilities. 22% is recycled.
Okay.
So it's going to the facilities to be recycled, but 22% of that is actually being diverted from landfill and recycled, and the rest is ending up in a landfill.
Okay. Somewhere. Thanks.
Or somewhere else. Maybe it's not a landfill, but not however they defined recycling right there. Okay. All right. So there's the video that we can't see, but it's of a renovation project that really highlighted the adaptive reuse using an old building, sorting materials, the contractor and everybody working together just to reduce waste. Okay. So here are some policy tools to consider. I put the Rubik's Cube up there for you. So this is, I've generated some ideas going through this process, and this is just food for thought, and I don't mean to make anybody upset with what I'm about to say. Okay. And I just ate more slides here. So some ideas, requirements for specific construction and demolition projects. So maybe there's required deconstruction for certain structures. Certain materials must be separated on site. Waste reduction and salvage and recycling are part of the permit process. Fines for failure to achieve certain recovery rates. Lower costs for permits that have certain waste reduction components. So this type of a policy, I did not see happening at the state level, but definitely at a lot of municipalities throughout the country. So I just put, there's a lot more here, but there's a lot of municipalities that have a whole host of different ways of doing that. Portland, Oregon's, I think, is the oldest one. Theirs was in the 90s. And I did hyperlink some of these. So if you get access to the slide, you can take a look at them. And I didn't distribute these ahead of time, but I'll make them available there. I inquired with Portland and South Portland to see if they had been talking about doing anything like this. And it's part of their One Climate Future sustainability plan. It's just a couple pages on what they want to do. And it does talk about targeted reuse initiatives and deconstruction projects. And I will say, for a lot of these municipal ordinances that tackle deconstruction, it's usually for buildings that were built before a certain time. So it's not for all buildings, but the older ones. And since we do have the old housing stock, I think that that's useful. And just because I haven't seen it in the other states doesn't mean we can't do it here. Okay. Landfill bans or mandatory recycling on specific materials. I think that we should just try to find out what the most problematic ones are in the landfills or the sorting facilities, kind of the low hanging fruit here, which ones have the highest value and the highest environmental and carbon saving benefits. So the biggest bang for our buck. I don't know exactly what those are, but I have a few ideas. Okay. So sometimes I feel like in our waste policies, we try to have the state lead by example for some of these things. How the foam ban that started with the state. So the state of Maine could try to get some purchasing specifications for the Department of Transportation to use certain materials to support reuse and recycling of these of CDD. Requirements for new state buildings and renovations and mandatory deconstruction for anything. I thought it was appropriate when I approached the Cross building today, there was construction out the door. The state could provide more information on reuse and deconstruction opportunities on their website. Other states just provide a lot more support for that kind of thing. But we already ask a lot of our department with their limited staff. We could support Maine Building Code, which I don't know if we want to get into here, for updates to that, or offer deconstruction grants. I did learn that deconstruction sounds expensive and time consuming, but I think you avoid certain disposal costs. And I think that there could be tax incentives or, value in the materials that you're deconstructing. So it might not always be the most expensive option, especially if there's support. Okay. This is a little bit like what Mr. Cody was saying, economic incentives should always favor pushing the materials where we want to go. Waste usually follows the path of least resistance. So the cheaper place will get more of the waste. So there's a lot of ways to do that, but raising the cost of disposal or lowering the cost of the recycling and reuse opportunities. I tend to think that the same way when I'm advocating for pay as you throw programs in towns, where the consumers pay for their bags of trash, I think it's a great way to reduce waste. And I think it's a more fair way to distribute the cost in the town. But if the town's not offering reuse and recycling opportunities, it doesn't quite feel as right to me. So I do think in some instances, raising the cost of disposal is a good idea, but only if there's a place for it elsewhere for it to go. Otherwise, it's just really raising the costs for certain people that might not even have another alternative. So it's just something that I think about. But in general, I think disposal costs are too low. Okay. I'm just thinking about, it's really hard sometimes to come up with a statewide policy here because of our geography and everything, our population density. So just thinking about how to implement some of these laws and target certain sectors or activities or within a certain distance to a facility. That's just always something to think about here. Okay. And then this one, this is a lot of what they're doing in Massachusetts. So as Massachusetts is, they're really going all in on deconstruction. I joined their deconstruction work group last week. It was a really great presentation. They're really urging their solid waste processing facilities and landfills to evolve and be part of the reuse and economy too, so that reuse and source separated activities that we would like to pursue. So that's not competing with what they're doing. So looking to these people, because they're really the experts in the, you know, they move all this material all the time. Just looking to them for ideas on how they could help facilitate some of this stuff moving up the hierarchy. You know, I think I'd just look to them as the experts in this. I'd be just curious what their thoughts were. And maybe, you know, the state would give credit towards different facility permit standards for doing some of these things. I don't know. There's ways to incentivize that because, we're just going to be fighting into the future if everybody's not kind of working towards the same ends here. Okay. So this is my last slide. I just, you know, this is the first of your three meetings and potentially public hearings and things. And there's a lot of other people to talk to. I hopefully gave you a good overview, but there's a lot of others in this space that I'm sure could provide a lot of information to you going forward. Okay. So I'm happy to answer some questions or find the answers to some questions for you.
Thank you so much. Let's see, we can end the screen share so our Zoom folks can see each other. Anybody on the committee have questions? Yep, go ahead.
Just a quick one, Sarah. I couldn't find your information except through Zoom.
Oh.
Did you post it in testimonies and do we have access to your presentation? Did you put it somewhere?
No, I didn't yet, but I will. Okay. Should I email it to you, Dan, or?
Yeah, I can email it out later.
Or I can email it to you directly also.
Okay. And just a quick one on the, my fixation on glass recycling, which you're aware of. But anyway, what is that insulation and how does that work? That you mentioned from Vermont.
Oh, the Glavel? Well, I would encourage you to go to their website. But it's they basically turn the glass into a fine like powder and then turn it. It can either be used as construction or like a really lightweight insulation, a subslab insulation, or a lightweight insulation in other parts of the building structure, or as a lightweight like a backfill in construction projects.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I have one for you. I'd love it if you could give me a little bit more information on your thoughts around the definition of recycled content in process CDD. You mentioned it briefly.
Recycled content of the materials or of
I mean, I'm assuming you're getting at this kind of number here, the percent of product that ends up being recycled and what is defined as. Mm-hmm. So were you specifically saying that you didn't think that the alternate daily cover should be considered a reuse or a recycled?
I think that it should not be called recycling. I think it should be, you know, I think it is beneficial reuse too. I don't know.
It's for purposes, is it okay if I interject?
Please, yeah.
For purposes of the solid waste processing facility, I don't believe it's necessarily considered recycling, but it's otherwise placed in a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Is do I have that right? I
have right. That was kind of the distinction. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so it's yeah.
My recollection is that
and then for the latest part of 1639 that was just created, was just passed, it's not considered recycling but otherwise placed. So that's why mm-hmm. I got a little confused there. So for the first two calculations of the three that I presented, it's recycling, but for the third calculation, it's not.
Okay. So would that then change your definition here in your presentation about resource in terms of the percent of material that's considered recycled, recovered, or reused if it's otherwise placed? Or is it still considered beneficially reused?
I think for the first two parts of that statute, it would be considered recycled or beneficially reused. But when you're doing the calculation to measure against what goes to the landfill based on what's in state versus out of state, then it's considered otherwise placed. If that clears things mm-hmm. up at all.
Okay, I guess what I'd love to know is this resource presentation, this line here where it talks about the 2021 amounts and the percent of mm-hmm. material, I guess I'd love to know, are we looking at 60% of material defined as recycled
yes.
based on the new definition?
No, that's based mm-hmm. on the first part of the calculation, the number one of the three calculations, right? So the first part of the calculation is 50% of everything coming in has to be recycled.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's, in my mind, there's a difference between what's counted as recycling for them to maintain their facility permits and what we're counting as recycling towards meeting our state's recycling goals. Like there's two, I think that's two different things.
And you're saying it's not?
It's not. Well, that's in my opinion.
Yeah, that's not the way I would interpret mm-hmm. it. What happened was in 1639, there was an additional calculation that was added to address the 50% of the 50%. But as you look at what's in statute, it still is, we are always at 60% or greater considered recycled. It's just this clarification that was made to 1639 that tries to add the requirement to recycle 50% of 50% that's remaining. And when you try to compare that to the other states, it's beyond apples and oranges. You add the whole basket of fruit in when you try to compare one state to the next for what qualifies for recycling or not recycling. So there's not a simple comparison for that, unfortunately. And we have between Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine.
Do you want to pull up and make sure you're on mic?
Between Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine, I've got seven different calculations, and each of them have different materials that qualify for recycling, and the definitions of recycling are different in all three states.
No, yeah. No, I guess my concern is in our efforts to increase the recycling of CDD waste, if a lot of that waste is still ending up in the landfill anyway, I think that just needs a distinction. It just needs a clarifier. I don't know. It should just be called something else. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. We just need to be transparent about, is that material being turned into new products and things, or is it still being put in the landfill? I just think it should be transparent. That's all. Representative?
Thank you. So would you say that there are two different discussions going on here? One discussion is what's in state and what's out of state. And that seems to be the one as legislators that we're focusing on with this order here, the in-state, out-of-state issue, which had a lot of political power with it. But that was something that was a great concern to the governor and the administration and to the public. And I think that concern about the in-state, out-of-state was what really was the wind behind LD 1639 and continues and probably continues to be. On the other hand, your presentation seems to be more on the issue of general landfill practices generally for CDD. Your position seems to be that even the stuff that Resource is sending now for cover, for other purposes at the landfill, is too much anyway, even if it was from in-state. It seems to be that's what you're making a more general argument about landfill practices. Would you say that that's an accurate observation?
Thank you for the question. I'm not thinking about it as in-state versus out-of-state right now. I think that LD 1639 last year, we can only prevent out-of-state waste from going into our state-owned landfill. And that's what we've accomplished through that law. So now into the future, CD waste can come from any state and go to these processing facilities or whoever new processing facilities might come online or whatever. So to me, the forward looking should think about all of the material generated in Maine, out of Maine, and what ultimately we want our policies and programs and state to support going forward. And I just wanted to be careful that we didn't want to focus just on putting waste through a mixed waste processing facility. And a lot of that is still ending up in the landfill being good for being used and reused for a good purpose. But I just wanted to broaden the awareness and the context for which that practice sits.
Yeah. So the concern today is not just shutting down out-of-state CDD coming into the state. You're saying even if we can process only Maine buildings that are torn down, you still feel that we still should filter it down even more than we are now. Right. That the landfill practices should not take so much of this CDD, regardless of where it's coming from.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because I think even the state-owned landfill does take the majority, they're the biggest, they take the most tons of this material in, as Suzanne pointed out, but waste management still takes in a bunch. We don't know if that's in-state or out-of-state, and it's a commercial landfill, so there's not really much to be, but if we have a statewide law that says you can't dispose of a certain type of material in that landfill, that would force that material to go to a processing facility, even if it was from New Hampshire or Massachusetts or wherever.
Okay.
So the law, yeah.
Well, that's,
does that?
That's nobody else. I'll defer to my
Senator.
Thank you. part of this discussion, I think, is about this fines material, the cover that's used, and it does end up in the landfill. Question is, how common is it that to use fines as a cover material? Because I know there are other methods that are used widely rather than using the material from, that's generated through the construction demolition debris processing. Do you have any information relating to what other processes are and how widely used they are?
Yes. Using the fines from construction demolition debris is not the only way to cover a landfill at the end of the day. And a lot of other states, they might prohibit or try not to use that particular cover type because when you have crushed up, say, the drywall that's in that material's crushed up and placed on top of the landfill, and the rain filters through, creates the hydrogen sulfide gas and some other issues that we don't want to have at landfills. So really the most sustainable way to cover the landfill at the end of the day is through using some sort of reusable cover, like a tarp or something that you can reuse, scrape off and use again. And I have found in my studying that landfills will typically use whatever material is the most economically beneficial that also suits the engineering purposes for them too. So like say if they were getting paid to take that material in, they would want to use that as the cover because that would be the best.
So did you suggest that there are other states that actually banned the use of vines as a material for cover?
I don't know if there's been a ban, but I have seen talking to some landfill engineers that it's discouraged or it's not used. They kind of looked at me funny when I would ask them about using that material as a cover. I think it just has to be a soil like material with certain properties. It's and that suits our definition of that here.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone on Zoom with a question? Nope. Anybody else? One of the things I guess I heard from your talk is sort of this long game idea of almost like a product stewardship approach of building buildings with like building stewardship and an end life goal in mind for what happens to the building at the end of its or parts thereof the building at the end of its useful life. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of what you envisioned the building industry heading towards?
Thought crossed my mind as somebody who's a big advocate of product stewardship and extended producer responsibility laws. But it's that concept of product stewardship and take, you know, as these materials move from hand to hand throughout their life cycle, making sure that the players do the right things with them. And you typically need a coordinating body to ensure that kind of stuff happens. So there's definitely more to learn here, and the EU is way ahead of us. There might be other jurisdictions who approach it in that kind of way. So in addition to looking more at what municipal ordinances, that was something that was on my research to-do list.
Thank you. Representative? Oh. Senator.
Thank you. One of the things that you mentioned a few times was how other states have a landing page on the web that has a lot of resources for people who are generating CDD. You mentioned Massachusetts. Are there other states that you think are good examples for us to look at as well?
Yes. I can include a set of links. A lot of the ones that I found were city links too. So the ones that I put in the presentation were from, you know, San Antonio and Portland, Oregon, and some larger cities that probably have the same population as Maine or more. So I can send you those, but you can get lost down a rabbit hole of information in a lot of these sites. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a state building code. How hard would that be?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. And should we start with municipal building codes, which are hard too to deal with? I mean, I think it's a great idea, but where do we start with this? I don't think we can do it state down.
I thought about deleting that bullet off of my presentation, so we didn't even talk about it. But I think, you know, talking, you know, about MUBEC, I think that, you know, I'm not the expert on all of those laws and the stretch codes and all of that, but I think town-wise, you can build things into the permitting process because towns usually have to permit construction and deconstruction or you know, demolition projects. So building it in at the municipal level is where I kind of came out on my thinking.
So something analogous, if I may continue, something analogous to what we did with the housing bill, where the state is willing to help the municipality move forward with it, but not mandate it. You think that would be the
way? Yeah. Yep, I think being supportive of all of these things, I just don't think any of them, we should help and at least not hinder a lot of these practices that I discussed.
Senator, I just wondered if we should start talking about